You're listening to Ecto Portal, a journey into the unknown with Anthony Anderson and Verna Wilson.
I hope that you are seated comfortably with the light turned down and the curtains drawn.
Once again, to another episode of Ecto Portal, another journey into the unexplored, the unexplained, the unknown. I'm Anthony Anderson, your host, and I'm here with my co-host,
Verna Wilson.
And what should we have this week for the listeners, Verna?
Well, we have the vampire Baroness of Paris. She was a baroness, and she was nicknamed the vampire, and her grave is in Paris, so we will talk all about that and the story behind her.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. More legendary stories.
More legendary stories. And it's a story that has kind of an impact still today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So what have you been up to lately?
Well, you know, besides working a lot, I've been trying to work on my poetry. Besides doing fiction writing since I was very young, I always told myself I'm not much of a poetry writer. I'm more of a prose writer. But I did write poetry when I was younger, and I thought I'd try my hand at it again. So when I was trying it again, it just started coming in, and sometimes verses would come in my head, and they wouldn't leave me. So
that's nice.
I've actually been working on that. So. I have requests from people to put a volume together, so I might actually try to do that.
You should try, remember we were talking before about the Kindle Vella? There's a lot of poetry writers that use Kindle Vella to do one or two poems per chapter or episode so that people can read their poetry.
I thought it was just for fiction, but
no,
poetry, maybe I'll put it in there. We'll see about that, yeah.
That's a good way to start it and develop it, and then eventually you'll have a completed book.
Oh, well, I might think about that. Yeah, but that's what I've been doing. And then I've also been collecting, I've got some gifts recently of some Bay Area writers. I collect books from Bay Area writers that were present during the 1800s and the turn of the century. So I've gotten some.
That's how I learn about a lot of them, is because when you get the books, you explain who they were a little.
Right.
That's where I learn a lot of these people, so that's good for me,
yeah,
too.
So I have had some new ones, and I've been reading them, and it's interesting to read about what old California was like and people's and their situations were like. Bret Hart is one of them, and he actually used to work not so far from where I used to work in the financial district. So every time I go past that address, I think Bret Hart worked there. But but anyway, he wrote some interesting stories, and it really takes you back to the streets of San Francisco and the Bay Area, what it was like living here at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's cool.
Yeah,
that's good.
And what about you?
Besides continuing my Kindle Vella of Halstead Supernatural Saga,
yeah,
which will eventually lead to a Kindle book, but I'm also working still on my paranormal kind of handbook haunting series.
Oh, right,
of different points of the United States, different cities of the United States. So each book's a different city. So I'm delving right now into Seattle, because that's where I'm from. That's my hometown. So I'm really, and it's funny, when I do research for a lot of this stuff, and I've done a lot of San Francisco, I have a lot of San Francisco research ready to go too, but I'm not going to do that yet. I thought, let me go back to my roots. Let me go back to my hometown first. And I find stories I look up the articles. I do look up the internet articles as well, but I also like to dig up the actual articles from the Seattle Times, Seattle Post-Intelligencer, because I want to see what they actually, facts that are said in the articles back in the early 1900s, what did they actually say versus what did someone think they said?
You know, you've been doing this since even before we did the former radio show. Mm-hmm. I've known you for like maybe 8 years now.
Yep.
And you've been researching this for years. Yep. So when this guide book comes out, it's going to be a good one.
Yep. And it's going to be a whole series. Each book is one city, major city.
Oh, this is going to be really good.
So it's funny though, when I do the investigation, I find articles and I find stories on the internet where they vaguely give facts and then they give wrong facts and they confuse facts. And then I look at the articles and I'm actually uncovering real things. Like there's a famous mortuary in Seattle that's haunted. It's in the Pioneer Square District. And people think, oh, it's the very first haunted mortuary in Seattle. I found out the same guys that built this mortuary building mm-hmm. moved from a three blocks over another mortuary building mm-hmm. that all the photographs that exist are from the former mortuary, not the new building. And that then they moved to another one. They built another third building. So
wow.
Everyone says it's the first. No, actually it wasn't. But I uncovered this by looking at the addresses.
So you're probably going to put the most information those places have.
Probably. Because it really bugs me.
You're uncovering a lot of it.
It bugs me when people are too vague. And I want to know, Where did they move from? There's ads. I have ads that say they had a former mortuary. So things like that. And I did that with San Francisco where this would counteract this on an article online. And I would pull up the articles and go, oh, they both have it wrong. And I would put a timeline. I do everything by a timeline.
Yeah.
And then I put it together. So
That's interesting for I don't think you've
that's
even,
like history more
it's,
than anything.
It's history more than anything. I don't even think you of course you haven't been to all of those places, but if somebody wants to do a history timeline, all they have to do is look in that guidebook of yours and
exactly
and actually try to uncover an old map and
I give addresses, photographs where I can. If you want to go on a walking tour yourself and look at where these buildings are, some of them are still there, you'll be able to do that. That's how I want to include it, is I'll put a little map in there, show you where to get there, all that stuff. Because I want it's almost like a paranormal self-walking tour book.
Yeah.
You get the history, you get the map, you get the photographs, so you can go on your own and sort of check things out.
And I do think that haunted tours are a lot of fun and they're interesting, but if you can go on your own, I actually think that's a good way to get to know a place, because on your own, you don't have the crowd and the talking. You just have yourself to...
Well, I mean, the tours...
Or with a friend.
The tours are good because they're storytellers and they're bringing those stories to
life. The tours are
great.
I'm not putting down the tours. I'm just...
But yeah, if you want to self... Yeah, if you want to do it on your own at your own pace and without any interruptions, it's a great way to do it. So that's
right.
What I've been working on is those two things, on and off. Again, when I go around a rabbit hole, it takes me a while to do the research because I really want to know from beginning to end what happened at that building. And
right.
I may not all be paranormal. I'm telling you who built it, what it was for, what it became, why is it haunted, and what happened to it afterwards. So
and that's good, because when you visit a place, the more you know about a place, the better it is for you when you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. So that's what I've been up to.
Very good. Great.
What do you say? You want to go to the paranormal news?
Let's go to the paranormal news.
Excellent. And welcome to the paranormal news. So what do you got this time, Verna?
Well, this one actually is about a singer who married a ghost and she went into hiding because she got death threats over her marriage. You know, everybody, if you actually go back on the archives, Vecto Portal, we've talked about somebody marrying a ghost before.
The ghost pirate, remember?
The woman who married the ghost pirate, right. But this is a new one. This is the second time I read about somebody marrying a ghost. So her name is, she's a singer and songwriter. Her name is Brocarde, but I never heard of her, but She was, they said that she turned to a medium this New Year's for a marriage counseling because she had kind of a not so good Christmas with her husband, and she'd gone into hiding after being trolled by people. So she fled the country. She went into hiding, and she was being trolled by people over her marriage to a ghost. I mean, if you have to flee the country, that's a lot of trolling. So anyway,
Many questions.
She married a ghost called Eduardo on Halloween, and apparently she scared somebody named Holly Willoughby live on This Morning, which is a show over there, and she's suffering online abuse, including death threats. So it's like a hate campaign, and she said she was really terrified. She said, I try to put a brave face and be thick-skinned, but the comments are becoming more and more hateful and deeply personal. Everyone preaches that love is love, but that sentiment doesn't seem to apply if your husband is a ghost. So she said that the attacks started before her marriage, but after the wedding, they became worse. She said, I received death threats, messages from people telling me to kill myself and to check into a mental hospital. She said, I'm scared someone's going to attack me in person or turn up at my home. It got so bad that Eduardo and I have left the country. She said, we were even considering going into hiding. It isn't a problem for Eduardo, but I'm getting scared to show my face in public. So anyway, she said that her relationship with Eduardo's isn't very good, and he isn't really there for her as usual. Well, so,
wait, what do you mean by that? He's not really there for her. Go ahead.
Well, that's the way she put it.
Is he not really there for her? Or is he not really there for her?
Well, you know, I have a feeling it's a little bit of both.
Do we know much about Eduardo?
She does. She just said his name is Eduardo.
We don't know anything about him, though?
She didn't say anything about him.
She hooked up with a ghost.
She said, apparently, trolling isn't a problem in the afterlife because ghosts prefer to live and let live. So it does. In other words, what she's saying is it doesn't bother him as much as it bothers her.
I love that statement. Ghosts say, let live and let live.
Right. So she said, it's appalling that people want to hurl abuse at a stranger. She says, sometimes I can't bear to look at my phone. I have to block and delete, but some slip through the net, and it just makes me sad. She said, I appreciate that marrying a ghost is slightly offbeat, but people are so dismissive and judgmental of paranormal relationships, it's hard to believe that this kind of trolling goes unpunished. So she's also had people who supported her, but she said there's been a lot of intrigue surrounding her relationship, and some people have reached out. They're fascinated by it, and they want to learn more and share their own experiences. But also, besides being trolled by people and all this abuse.
Yeah.
She also has been kicked out of churches as well. She said that she was kicked out of churches and she was threatened with exorcisms.
What country is she in?
I guess she's in the UK. She tied the knot in the asylum, a chapel in London, after a mission to find a church or venue that would host their wedding. So she told ITV's This Morning, which is a show over there, that I think there's a bit of an issue with religion in the afterlife. Not all the priests believe that. So in other words, she had a hard time finding somebody who would marry her.
No. Shut up.
She said the ceremony had an open invite to the living and the dead, which saw the likes of Marilyn Monroe, Elvis, and Henry VIII attend the chapel.
Why not?
What a guest
list. Anne Boleyn was there. She was holding her head to her side.
That wouldn't be funny to Anne.
No, but if she attended.
She probably wouldn't want to go there because Henry's
there. Or maybe someone brought her head.
Why would Anne want to see Henry?
Well, maybe they got embarrassed when they saw each other. Or maybe someone just brought Anne's head and just carried her there so she could see the wedding. But
Anne's a ghost. Exactly. Anne's a hole.
Exactly. But she was beheaded, so. Anyway, she
was forced to turn to a medium
for
marriage counseling because she had a bad Christmas with her husband.
Can you imagine a medium as a marriage counselor? I would love to be a fly in that room. Just saying.
It would have been an interesting session.
Yes.
Yeah. So the medium sensed that the ghost is deep, had love for her, for his wife, and she said it's critical that they work on their communication skills.
Okay.
I mean, I would hope so. I mean, the living have to work on their communication skills being married.
Ghost towns have to work on their communication skills.
Absolutely. So after demanding her husband give a sign that he's committed to the marriage and wants to survive, Brocardi started being haunted by a screaming baby. So as well as the crying baby, which wakes her in the middle of the night, she's also seen the vision of a rocking crib at the end of her bed. So first came love, then came marriage, and then came...
a crying ghost in a baby carriage.
Right. Okay.
You know what it sounds like to me?
What?
The spirits on the other side...
what?
...are messing with her.
I think so.
I mean, yeah. I know she thinks she's married to this guy, but who says that he isn't just trying to do all this shit to her?
And that there's a baby now and everything.
Exactly.
Well, she said that only she could stop the baby screaming by screaming back the top of her lungs. And she added, the baby and the sleepless nights felt like a bit of a deal breaker, but with the trolling to contend us as well, I'm starting to wonder if being married to a ghost is all it's cracked up to be, or if it's just to crack me up. She said, it's pretty miserable and unfulfilling being married to a ghost. I'm becoming a shadow of my former self, a bit like Eduardo. So she has a single. It's called Haunted. And she wrote it about her relationship with him.
It's probably on YouTube.
Probably.
We should try and get her on the show.
I'd like to get her on the show. And let me say something about this. Okay. I'm not making fun of her.
No, I'm intrigued. I have so many questions.
I'm intrigued with her, yeah. I'd like to get her on the show. I might look her up, and I'd like to hear about it.
Yeah.
This is my opinion, and a lot of people are not going to agree with me, but I don't think being married to a ghost or having a paranormal relationship is unusual or weird. Because let's put it this way, these are souls. When you have a relationship with anybody, there's chemistry, and you're attracted to that person's soul, really. It's just the only problem with it is that it doesn't give you the same perks on this lifetime because they're going through a different phase of life than you are.
But see, my questions would be very easy one. Communication. Do you telepathically speak to this soul?
Right. You have to be very good with that.
Because I don't know how else you could communicate with it unless this spirit manifests in your atmosphere and talks to you. That only those two ways. There's only two ways they can communicate. I mean, I guess you could use a Ouija board if you believe in it.
They can come through in dreams because a lot of spirits come through in dreams.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
they come through very clear. Because
I'd just be curious what communication is used
and what made her convinced that she actually had a relationship and she was married to him.
So maybe you'll have to try and get her on the show. Then.
I would like to get her on the show. And here's another point of view of mine. Why would you want to abuse somebody for being married to a ghost? Who cares?
Yeah, there's a lot.
Who cares?
There's got to be more to that. Because why would that many people drive you out of a country unless you weren't doing something that... you must be provoking in some way.
Yeah, what is it that... Because,
okay,
I mean,
we'll have to save our questions if we get her as a guest.
If we get her as a guest.
Exactly.
But anyway, I hope she's better now because that article...
Oh, yeah, I hope so too. That's awful.
Yeah, that is awful. Yeah, so that's my article, and if anybody has any opinions about it, we'd like to hear it.
Yep. So,
what do you have?
My article actually is about a ghost sighting in Cardiff Castle in Wales.
Mm-hmm.
A Welsh woman was left in puzzlement when she films a ghostly figure in the tunnels beneath the haunted castle.
Mm-hmm.
She claimed Emily Price... that's her name, Emily Price, captured it recently. Her and her husband were touring the country's iconic Cardiff Castle.
Mm-hmm.
While walking through the tunnels, they also served as a shelter from air raids during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
She noticed that a speaker was playing a legendary speech of Neville Chamberlain, where he announced Britain's entry into the conflict of the war. She pulled out her cell phone and began filming, but soon spotted something really strange ahead of her in an adjoining passageway. It looked like a woman with no face. She said the figure appeared to be wearing a gray and white dress. And she was so intrigued, her and her husband ventured to where the mysterious stranger had been. And they found that the tunnel was empty. After exiting the underground area of the castle, they were confounded when they saw no sign of any individual dressed like that. Her attempts to dismiss the experience were merely a misunderstanding were dashed when she realized the possible ghost sighting had inadvertently been captured on film. Remarkably, she notes she's rather skeptical of ghosts, and she's unaware of any spooky stories of apparitions spotted in the tunnels. It was only after that she shared the footage to social media that a former tour guide indicated that the anomaly was akin to the witnesses have reported seeing in the passageways. While the experience did not entirely append her perspective on the paranormal. She said, whatever it was I saw inside Cardiff Castle's tunnels, it'll stay with me forever. And again, I'll post this article on our Facebook page. You'll have to scroll down to find it. But you can actually see, and I'll actually show you the picture here.
Okay.
Here's the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
the very end of the tunnel. And I did a close-up.
Wow, look at that.
It is interesting. There,
it is interesting.
Something at the very far end of this tunnel
shot. I wonder if
she
could have been a nun, because nuns would cover their face. They used to wear. They used to wear even veils that were probably more. Not necessarily a nun.
It
kind of
looks like Michael Myers from the Halloween movies.
Oh, kind of does. But but on the other hand, medieval times, women wore wimples and they wore veils. They
over their face.
They wore stuff over their face. So if it wasn't a nun, it was probably somebody from medieval times who was used to covering their face.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting photo.
Yeah.
I don't know that it isn't another person. I don't know that it isn't something that's set up down there, stored down there that looks like a figure from a distance. It's interesting. This is my answer.
Right.
It's interesting. It means I'm not totally convinced, but I do find it interesting when people take photos and you don't know what it is.
Right. And that photo looks pretty... It looks... Yeah, I would be curious if I saw that too.
When I go back to England, I want to go to Cardiff Castle's often.
Oh, yeah.
In the
tunnels? There's so many ghosts in those places.
Oh, of course. They're so old.
Well, of course. Of course there are. Yeah.
All right. So that's the paranormal news.
Okay, so
what
here
do we
go.
Got this week, Bruno? What do you got for us?
We have somebody who has been nicknamed the Vampire Baroness of Paris. And, you know, I think the vampire nickname for her is kind of unfair myself, but okay. I'll explain why.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, this is a woman, her name is, this is how her name is pronounced, Baroness Elizaveta Alexandra... Alexandronova Stroganova.
Wow.
Yeah. And she was born to a Russian industrialist family. She wasn't born into... They were trade. And it was in February of 1779 in St. Petersburg. And she actually had a very rich and charmed upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Her family was one of the wealthiest in Russia. Their money was made from salt and fur. So that was their trade. And they were very respected. They were very well respected. And they were bestowed the title of barons of the Russian Empire by Peter the Great. So she was... so she led a very... You know,
is this late 1800s, early 1900s?
No, late 1700s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, late 1700s. She was born in 1779, so it's probably the early 1800s, around the Regency. So she would lead she led a very colorful social life. She married a wealthy young man, another industrial family that made their riches by trade. And his name was Nikolai Nikitich of Demidov. And she was only 16 years old. And, of course, people married young back then.
Mm-hmm.
And he became a diplomat, and they moved to Paris, France. And they had four children there. And only two of the children survived into adulthood. So she was known as an outgoing socialite, and she was popular in aristocratic circles in Paris, and she was very good looking, and she became a popular figure.
Mm-hmm.
So their lives were going peacefully for a while, but there was tensions between France and Russia. So it forced Russia to recall Nicholas in 1805. So the two moved to Italy, for a while before heading back to Moscow. But after heading back to Moscow, the marriage began to disintegrate. The marriage was not going very well. So she actually moved back to Paris after getting out of the marriage. I don't think they divorced. I think basically they separated. So she went back to Paris because...
So they sort of fizzled out and they just sort of went their own ways.
They went their own way, right.
They were still married, though.
They were still married, yeah. And she moved back to Paris because she always loved Paris. She felt at home there, and I guess she had all her friends there. So mm-hmm. that's where she moved back, and she felt at her best there. And she died there in 1818 at the age of just 39. That's really young. I wonder if she got sick. What happened? Well, they don't say how she died.
But for those that period, I mean, that's still kind of young.
It's still kind of young,
but
yeah.
It's not, like, unheard of?
No. People.
But what did she die of? Does it say what she died of?
It doesn't say what she died of, that she just died at age 39. And I know that people got older quicker.
Yeah.
Back then.
Well, they had more disease, more, you know.
Right. There
pandemics, more.
And there was no antibiotics, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
people didn't live as long.
They didn't live as long, no. So she was buried in a cemetery that opened in 1804, which is the La Chaise Cemetery. It was considered a fashionable place to have, to be interred. And of course, a lot of the rich and famous were getting their loved ones buried there. So
is it like high class, expensive?
High class,
to be
expensive
there?
Place. Yeah, it was a place where if you were well off, you would be interred there. Yeah,
it was the it place to be buried.
It was the it place to be buried at the time, right? So it was well manicured, tree lined streets. And the very lavish mausoleums. Of course, you had people who were buried there had the money to build lavish mausoleums for their families.
Yeah.
So one of them belonged to Baroness Demidoff, and it's an elaborate structure of white marble standing at an imposing 32 feet high, and it's surrounded by pillars, and it's reminiscent of an ancient Greek temple, and it's high on a hill, actually. So what was interesting about that mausoleum is that she's buried in a crystal coffin where you could see her underneath the coffin.
Very, what is it, Snow White? Wasn't she in a crystal coffin?
She was in a crystal coffin in Snow White,
or
yeah.
Was it Sleeping Beauty?
No, not Sleeping Beauty. Sleeping Beauty didn't die.
It was Snow White, because the dwarves
would
see her in the crystal coffin.
Well, they could see her, and that's how the prince saw her. But
Can you imagine?
I know.
A crystal coffin.
For a crystal coffin, you would have money. And just a side note, folks, we actually did an episode before on the Grimm's Tales, so you may want to read the original
Snow White.
That's
right. It was actually fascinating, though, the magic and stuff. You actually find out a lot of more details. We actually uncovered a lot of interesting things.
We did.
So check out that episode.
The fact that they got all their facts from a grimoire, but...
That's
listen
all in the
to
archive.
The episode. Yeah.
Check out the archive.
Check out
the
archive. Yeah,
Grimm's fairy tales.
But anyway, there began to be strange stories that were coming out of that people visiting or going past that mausoleum. So the rumors had it that her will left a very bizarre stipulation. According to her will, it stated that a fortune would be awarded to anyone who would spend a year in the mausoleum alone with the body of the Baroness. And there was some very strict rules that they had to go by. The person was not allowed to leave the tomb for any reason other than an hour a day to take a walk, during which time they were forbidden to talk to anyone or human contact. And the walk was only to be undertaken before 5 o'clock in the morning in the summer and 8 o'clock during the winter months. So
In the morning?
Yeah, 5 o'clock in the morning in summer.
Wow.
I know, you have to wake up early to go take your walk.
Is it worth it? No, I'm going to go back to bed.
I'm sorry, I would want my coffee first. But anyway, or 8 o'clock in the winter months.
Mm-hmm.
So the only diversion that they were allowed was that of reading, which would have been easy for me. And there was a light inside the mausoleum at the head of the coffin. And a servant was to visit the person inside to bring food and water to take away waste. We all know what that means, you know.
Bucket.
A bucket of your...
Honey bucket. a little
Ew.
One back then. It'd be a little honey bucket. Not so much honey, but more what's in the bucket.
Probably smelled after a while,
well,
but anyway.
Imagine the job having to take it away.
Ew.
Imagine having to sit in that mausoleum with it until somebody took it away.
Yeah, and you can imagine if...
Anyway.
Anyway.
Tangent.
We're getting gross here.
Tangent.
But the servant was not to speak to you or even acknowledge you in any way, so they probably went in, held their nose, didn't look at you, and took away
the
bucket.
I'm here to pick up your bucket.
No. Don't make me laugh. They couldn't talk to you. They weren't even allowed to say that to you.
Oh, I'm just going to mime. I'm here to pick up your shit bucket.
Stop. Anyway.
Okay.
But here's the clincher. Okay, she was interred within a crystal coffin, which, of course, had to be in a very elaborate coffin, right? Yeah. Her corpse was seen. So you had to sit next to it. And there were mirrors installed everywhere inside.
She'd be like my best friend. We'd be talking all the time. Be like, so, I know you're just laying around. You're just probably listening to me. I know you're not going to interrupt me or anything.
You could read to her,
You could read to her. You could sing to her. I don't think you could dance, but...
So...
She watched you poop, though. That means that the person She's watching you poop.
You know what? She would watch you poop.
Would you have a choice?
But if you had a poop in a bucket, I mean,
I'd be like, for my own entertainment, I'd be like this. I'm going to go poop now. I don't want to catch you peeking.
Oh, gosh. This is turning into a comedy episode. But anyway.
Well, it's a little weird. Stop. It's a little weird.
So anyway, there were supposed to be mirrors installed everywhere. Can you imagine? You can see yourself going to the bathroom. Come on.
But you can see her in the reflection of the mirror peeping at you while you're going to the bathroom.
Which is even worse.
It is worse.
So anyway, you were always confronted with her corpse there. There was a newspaper report about it. They would say, the princess lies in a crystal coffin. The whole body is distinctly visible in order that the man or woman who might undertake the long watch should never lose sight of it. And during the whole year and a day... It's supposed to be a whole year and a day. A whole year, not a...
a whole year?
Get your mind off the gutter.
All right.
Never lose sight of it and have his thoughts constantly occupied with the deceased princess. So, in other words, she wanted to be seen.
Yeah.
So, according to the reports, no one's ever been able to spend more than a few days in there. But as soon as the news started hitting the papers... There were people who were willing to take up the challenge. So, as the news spread, there were applications that came in from everywhere, from all over the world. And one 1894 report in the New Zealand Herald reads, for months after the publication of this story, the conservator of Pierre Lachaise Cemetery received so many letters from all parts of the world from persons of society anxious to earn the million francs. A million? How much would a million francs be in American money now?
That's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
She meant business. She wants to watch you poop. She really meant business. She'll pay for it.
Yeah. Is that it became a long... Stop with the poop talk. It became a long daily labor to reply to them. This time it was affirmed that several persons had attempted the terrible death watch, but all had abandoned it. They said it was said to... It heard unearthly and mysterious sounds, and it was struck with horror and fear by ghostly apparitions.
Wow.
But there were applications to watch the coffin from all parts of Europe and even North and South America. And Belgium seems to have furnished the largest number of individuals willing to sit and watch.
I wonder what the poverty level is in Belgium. Like, if that was like, hey, I can make some money off this. You know what I mean?
Also, a lot of people from, the countries, how close is Belgium? I mean,
to what? Russia?
No, not Russia, to France. I mean, it's not that
far.
It's not that far, yeah.
Europe's a lot smaller than we think.
Yeah, Europe's smaller than we think, yeah. So anyway, there were people from all walks of life. Men and women, they applied for the challenge, and there were reports that those who tried faced a lot of misfortune. There were reports that people have seen ghosts, fell mysteriously ill. One person went insane. After only days or hours being in the company of the mausoleum. And in many cases, the person who tried was found screaming to be let out. And in others, they came out of the ordeal with scratches and bruises on their bodies. And in some reports, the person would die shortly after exiting the tomb. They said nobody really lasted a year. And the longest anyone was said to have lasted was 3 weeks. After which they said they became a jabbering idiot.
That was the longest?
3 weeks. Yeah.
It's nothing.
But 3 weeks is nothing, really. So I think they just kind of grew lonely and bored and couldn't do it.
You're by yourself. You're not allowed to talk to another human soul. Even the person who brings your food and takes your honey bucket, you're not supposed to talk to them?
If it was lockdown, it would have been easy, right?
Well, it's kind of
I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding about COVID lockdown.
Because the only human
figure
you can talk to is in a crystal coffin dead a few feet from you.
Right, and we already joked that, you know, she could see you doing everything.
Yeah, but that's all you have to talk to, and she doesn't talk back. So it still would drive you a little nutty, I'm sure.
Right. So,
yeah,
even,
it's like lockdown, you're right.
It's like lockdown, yeah.
But with a coffin with some chick in it, watching you poop.
Watching you poop, and you're only allowed to read, and somebody comes and gives you food and takes away your
bucket.
Your junk. Yeah. So anyway, also there's symbols and numbers in the mausoleum, the carvings of bats and wolf heads, and it led to rumors that it had some kind of occult significance and that she was actually an immortal energy vampire and that her will was designed to provide people for her to suck the life force from. You know, people are going to make up stuff like that, you know. So,
of course. I mean, you have to justify for yourself. Why would anyone set this up before they're dead? Unless it's a big elaborate joke. Ha ha, isn't this funny?
Now here's another rumor to add to it. Her corpse was said to not deteriorate and that there were meanings found on everything from her date of death to the location and the placement of the tomb.
Yeah, numerology.
So she was known, so she became known as the Vampire Baroness of Paris. And of course, you know, there was a lot, rumors spread back then. And they didn't have any way to record whether these were true or not. They just, you know how it is when
stories,
you know, one person tells one thing and all of a sudden it becomes fabricated.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, there were people who were reporting seeing apparitions near the mausoleum or feeling sick or drained walking past it, which I can believe that.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt sick or drained walking past.
Well, you are in a mausoleum in a graveyard, too. So, if you're going to see something, if you're stuck in there for 3 weeks or a year,
I do believe that.
You're probably going to see something.
So they also recorded orbs, a glowing face, which doesn't surprise me considering the location.
Yeah.
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 So, it's, you know, there's a lot of stories, but we do know that she was a real person. The mausoleum still exists.
Mm-hmm.
And
you could visit it probably.
You could still visit it. Oh, yeah. And apparently, I think that a rumor that I heard is that you have to apply to the challenge is still there. And you have to apply to the French embassy, but I hear that they're turning people away and they're not having them do that anymore.
So who ended up with their money is the question.
That's a good question.
French government?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that it?
I think also that there was a, I think as far as the challenge went as far into the 19th century.
Oh, wow.
And I don't think anybody, they don't say
who. The challenge was in the 19th century.
It went into the 19th century. Well, it went into the 19th... Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
It's in the 20th century.
I'm not thinking... Forgive me, folks. I'm tired. It's been a long day.
20th century,
yeah. But nobody's met the challenge.
Yep.
It's apparently... you have to apply to the French embassy to do it, but they're turning people away, and I don't think it's good. The challenge is good anymore.
Now, let's... I want to ask you. I want to go back in time.
All right, let's go back in time.
So, after she died, and the challenge was fresh. So was she in her crystal cabinet of wonders.
Uh huh.
Would you have taken the challenge and stayed in there a year? Would you have done that?
No.
You would never have done that.
No.
Money aside, what if you really needed the money? Would you still not do it?
No.
Okay, now that's then, because you know how things were like then, sanitary. The honey bucket comes out, the food comes in. But you're stuck in there with the honey bucket and a decomposing woman in a glass case.
Right, right. Yeah, all the weird details.
Flash forward to the present day.
Mm-hmm.
Would you, as an investigator who loves to write about experiences, take that challenge and make me think, I'm going to make sure I write down notes, my thoughts, the experience, describe everything and what you encounter, what you see, so that it's actually you take the experience out and you get the money itself. Now, would you do that in present day?
Not for a whole year, no. So it's a whole year out of my life.
It's a lot. And you can't talk to another human soul, so.
No, I mean, let's put it this way. I'm used to being alone. I live alone. I work alone. I mean, it's not that I don't go into an office.
But you don't have to stare at a dead woman.
I don't have to stare at a
coffin.
Dead woman. All I stare at is cats and books.
Okay. So we'll put you... Okay.
So I'm used to being... That part, I'm okay with. I'm used to being alone.
But you would do it now, but just not for a year. How long would you do it for?
maybe a couple days.
Oh, that's like camping out overnight.
That's enough for me to know what I'm going through.
Okay, so
it's. I mean,
I'm wondering myself.
But I probably wouldn't win the money. But if
well, you wouldn't because you didn't fulfill the.
Because I didn't fulfill it, but it's a year out of my life, and I'm trying to. And to me, you know, you can never take those moments back, and I don't think it's really worth the money for me to do something like that. How about you?
I'm trying to think of that now. If I was poor and I wanted that money, it depends on what I'm doing. If I'm employed, if I'm living well, and I'm not doing badly, I probably wouldn't do it. I'd talk about it and think, haha, wouldn't this be interesting? But I don't think I would do it. If I was desperate, had nobody else to rely on and really needed money or I was going to starve, okay. I would do it.
You would do it? Well, here's a catch. If I were allowed to text people how I'm doing, and they had cell phones. Let's say this is modern times. If I was allowed to text people how I'm doing, that's technically not cheating.
Because you're not speaking to another human.
I'm not speaking to another human. If I were allowed to text my loved ones.
You would do it?
I might do it longer than a couple of days, yeah.
How long?
I don't know. I don't think I'd still don't think I'd want to do it for a whole year. Because
a
that's
month?
Maybe a month is okay.
Okay, now.
Now, what about you seeing her coughing all the time? I don't think that would bug you, knowing how thick-skinned you are about that stuff.
No, I'd be fascinated. I'd be doing EVPs in there. And
I would want to bring
the equipment. I would write down every experience.
Would
every
you do it
thought.
For a whole year, though?
A whole year. Oh, I have to crap in a bucket, though.
What if they build a porta potty in there, modern times?
So let's bring it up to date a little.
Instead of a potty.
Honey bucket being hauled out every day by poor Schmo. Thank you. Instead, it's a porta potty. Is it cold in there? Is it warm? Do you know what I mean?
I would hope it would be warm.
These would be questions you'd have to think about, right?
Yeah, I would hope they would.
Is your bed comfortable?
That's the thing, though.
Do you have a flashlight?
I would want to not develop any health problems while I'm in there. Because, I mean, it's a mausoleum, for Pete's sake.
There's mold and mildew.
Yeah, you know, so.
You know what? No, you've talked me out of it now. I thought of all the things that could happen around you, and I don't think it's worth it.
It's not worth it.
Not even if I was poor would I do it.
No, it's not worth it.
There you go.
Yeah, but I'd like to get the listener's opinion. Would you do it?
Would you spend an entire year in this mausoleum with this?
And you know, I also think
vampire baroness.
I think that it's kind of unfair. It's kind of unfair that's applied to her that name because according to her life, she didn't seem to have anything to do with the occult. She was.
But she had a wicked sense of humor.
She had a good sense of humor, but she seemed to have been a socialite who liked enjoying herself, who liked going out and visiting people.
Yep.
She didn't seem like the dark, mysterious, but you never know with people. And there was a lot of occult circles back then.
We don't
know.
I mean,
a lot of secret societies and stuff.
We don't know
back
what her personality was like. We don't know who she hung around with.
Yeah.
We just don't know.
We don't know.
But
so
there you go.
There you go. Yeah.
Interesting. All right, folks, that's another episode of Ecto Portal, a different episode. Makes you kind of think about what you will and will not do in the time period
and
that
it's
offered.
And don't call the French embassy and say, I heard Ecto Portal and I heard that the challenge is still there.
Yeah, I want to hang out with that dead baroness vampire lady.
Because, I mean, from what I heard, they're not taking the challenge anymore. Yeah. And
but you can visit her.
You can visit. You can visit the mausoleum. I want to see the mausoleum. I want to go there and visit.
Yep.
So, anyway. Enjoy the show. We hope you enjoyed the show. And if you have any opinions about it, we'd love to hear about it.
Absolutely.
And if you know anything about her that we don't, I'd like to hear about that too.
Exactly. All right, folks. Until next week.
See you
next
week.
Journey into the Ecto Portal.
Bye. Bye.
Music by Mark Vandermeulen and theme by Ross Bugden.
Be sure to visit us at www.ectoportal.com. Check out our archives on YouTube and head on over for new episodes to ectoportal.podbean.com.